Well, good morning and welcome. We're so honored to have you with us today, spending some time with us. We're going to have a great time together. Let me just pause right here and give you a little bit of an update. First of all, I want to tell you how much we miss you. We're praying for you, and we love you so, so very much. I'm so longing for the day when we can be back together under one roof. We have many times thought about giving you a date, but as we have observed, a lot of churches have done that and have to pull those dates back as things have changed regarding COVID-19 and the orders that are coming down through the state and what we're required to do. And so we have been evaluating, and I wanted to give you some kind of projection as to what we're hopeful we can do. We are pretty much in an intense situation this month. We're hoping next month, perhaps the middle of next month, maybe August 16th as a date we can come back together. Again, that we will continue to reevaluate, and day by day, week by week, things change. But I'm hopeful that we can soon be back together again. Meanwhile, we're praying for you. We love you. We're honored that we get to come into your home and be there with you. I hope you have your family there with you as we share some time together. But just honored that you're able to do church this way. And we love you so, so dearly. Praying for you every day. I want to jump right into this series today as we're looking at the series that we've entitled When You Pray. And today we're taking part 6, and we're going to be talking about protection. I want to remind you again, as I do every week, we are living in uncertain times, but I want to encourage you to let you know, as you should already know, but I want to remind you, God is in control and He has not changed. The world may seem like it's changing every day, but our God has not changed. He is still faithful. He is still true. He is still with us, a very present help in the time of trouble. In fact, Hebrews chapter 13 and 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I want to also remind you, as I've been reminding you each week, and that is that we are in a spiritual battle. That is a reality. We are in a spiritual battle. And today's message addresses this truth straight on and addresses how we can be victorious in battle. I believe God has called us to pray, and we need to be praying for our country, praying for our world, and just praying even for the church and what God has called us to do. And I believe what God has called us to do is to preach Jesus. I believe He's placed on me personally a mandate to point you to Jesus. And that's my goal in this series each week, is that I will point you to the person of Jesus Christ, because I believe it's only in Jesus that we find hope. It's only in Jesus that we find the peace that we long for. Only in Jesus can we find the unity that we need as a nation. Only in Jesus can we find healing. And so Jesus, when He taught us about praying, and we know that when we pray, things happen, amazing things happen. But Jesus modeled for us how to pray in Matthew's account in chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. And I want to look at this again, this Lord's Prayer. And let's pray this together, if you would, with me. And He prays this: in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In Luke's account of this prayer, when the disciples asked Jesus, they said, teach us to pray. And Jesus used these words, when you pray. Can I tell you, when you pray, amazing things happen. I truly believe that earth is shaken, heaven is moved, and God does amazing things. In fact, James chapter 5 and 16 says, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. So when we're taking this Lord's Prayer in these 7 weeks, because there's 7 parts to this prayer, if you break out this, it's really a model for us to pray. In week 1, we talked about paternal love. When you pray, our Father in heaven. And so first of all, we understand that we must connect relationally with God. We must connect with God relationally. And then week 2, we talked about the presence of God. When you pray, hallowed be your name. And we worship His name. We give honor to His name. Week three, we talked about priorities. When you pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we learn to pray His agenda first, because it's so important, the order of this prayer, that we align ourselves with Him and get our priorities straight. First, we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then we move on to, and we looked at this in week four, provision, where we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And we see the importance of going to God about our needs, but it's not only about our physical bread, but it's about our spiritual bread, where Jesus declared that He is the bread of life. And we, again, each week, each part of this points us to the person of Jesus Christ. And we learn that we depend on Him for everything. Then in week five, we talked about pardon. And we discussed this, where we pray forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And we learned that we must get our heart right with God and with people. And so today we're taking part six, and we're going to talk about protection. Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, this part of the prayer where Jesus prayed, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from the evil one. Now, I want you to write this down, this point. That is that we, at times, we need to engage in spiritual warfare. Now, I know a lot of us don't like conflict, but prayer is not only a conversation, but prayer, another aspect of it, is confrontation. I'm encouraged with this scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, that says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. I want to give you three realities that we learn from this phrase that Jesus prayed, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Number one, write this point down. Write these words, evil one, evil one. The reality is there is an evil one. The reality is, and this may spook you out a little bit, but there is a devil. There's different words we have for him. The devil, Satan, Lucifer. He is a fallen angel that fell from God's grace, and he roams around this earth. We know that he is not omnipresent. He can only be in one place at one time. He is not God's co-equal. He is not equal to God. He doesn't come close. He's just a fallen angel. There are demons that were thrown out with him. They are also fallen angels, and they run around wreaking havoc in our world. This is a reality. In fact, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. I've been sharing this with you each week, and it's very applicable in this part of this series, where Paul says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you can take your stand against, watch this, the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not with one another, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And so that's a reality. There is an evil one. But then he tells us what we can do about it. He goes on to say, therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. After you've done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then I love, he goes on, he concludes it this way in a paragraph. He says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions. That's what we're doing. We're praying with, and on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. And that's what we're attempting to do. We're declaring Jesus. We're declaring his word. We're declaring that there's victory in him. We're declaring that greater is he that's within us than he that's within the world. We're declaring truth, and the truth is what sets people free. Again, Matthew chapter 6, verse 13 says, "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." From the evil one. Now, write this down. Number two, write these two words down. Evil world. Evil world. He says, deliver us from the evil one. And one translation, King James translation, says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Because there's an evil one, he has spread evil throughout the world. And so we realize that his influence is upon people, and that he takes people captive, and he controls people. And so when we look at this, we realize that it's not just an evil one, but there's also an evil world. In fact, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19 says, the whole world is under the control of the evil one. And 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So ever since the fall in the garden, the world has been in a fallen state. But good news, God had a plan to redeem us from that fallen state. John 3, 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I love the next verse. Verse 17 goes on to say, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So there is an evil world, but Jesus comes to rescue that world. What has happened is that this world has been blinded so they cannot see the truth. The little g god of this world has blinded their eyes. Let me share that with you in scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 says this, but even if our gospel is veiled, that means it's hid, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds, the god, the little g god of this age, has blinded, who do not believe, lest, look at this, watch this, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. So the evil one wants to keep the world darkened. He doesn't want them to see the light. He wants them to be in a place of confusion, a place of darkness, and where they cannot see the truth. And so what our prayer is that we pray to God, that God would open their eyes. So we pray against the evil. We pray against the darkness. We pray against those that are the condition of blindness. And we pray, God, open their eyes. And we point them to Jesus. We point them to Jesus by how we live. We point them to Jesus by how we talk. We point them to Jesus through declaring truth to them. So then look at number three with me. So there's an evil one, there's an evil world. Number three, there's an evil heart. Jesus prayed this in Matthew 6, 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So understand this, when we're talking about this area of protection and about praying that against the evil one or the evil world, it's not just us pointing out there. We've also got to look at ourselves. See, from the time that we fell in the garden and Adam sinned, there was passed on an Adam nature, an Adamic nature, the sinful nature that we were born with. In fact, Jeremiah 17 and 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? In fact, when Jesus was teaching out about prayer to his disciples in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11, he says, though you are evil, he described us as evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So our condition, our natural condition, is an evil heart. But what can we do about this? James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 says, therefore, submit to God. We can start right there. And watch this. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But it's not just resisting. Add this part to it. He goes on to say, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And when God draws near to us, and we have God on our side, he is no match. There's no comparison, and the devil has to flee, right? So we need to take our stand against the enemy and fight the good fight of faith. And for every lie that the enemy has told you, it should be replaced with the truth of God's word, the truth of God's word. I'm going to go back to that scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 6. It says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, yes, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Look what it goes on to say. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservant for Jesus' sake. Watch this. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Now think about this. We're talking about spiritual battle that we're in. And the truth of the matter is that Satan, his name was Lucifer, and he was the one in heaven assigned to be the lead worshiper. And he was an angel of light. He actually reflected the light of God. God is light. And Satan was just a reflection of that. Now he's an angel of darkness because he has fallen and there's no light for him to reflect. It's kind of like the moon. I love looking at the moon when it's full and how bright it can be. It can even light up the night sky because it's so bright. But the moon in and of itself does not have a light. It is only a reflection of the sun. It is only a reflection of the sun. Can I tell you, that's what God does for us. He lights up our life when we draw close to him, when we resist the devil and we draw close to God. And as we are drawing close to God, we become more like him. We are conformed into his image. We reflect Jesus Christ. And that's what God's called us to do, to receive his light and reflect his light to this world. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who has what? Who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Isn't that wonderful? We need God's mercy, don't we? We're a people that can receive God's mercy, and God's mercy is available. I love what John chapter 1 and verse 4, when the Bible's describing how the world was made by him, and it goes on to say, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, speaking of Jesus. It goes on to say that that the light would shine in the darkness, but the darkness could not comprehend it. But here's what I know. The Holy Spirit comes to open our eyes that we may see Jesus, the light of the world, that comes to bring us out of darkness, comes to establish his truth in us, comes to change our life forever. He's come to save us. He's come to redeem us. Can I tell you that he is available for you today? You can walk in light, in the light of his gospel, the light of his truth, and not in confusion, not in the darkness of this world. Jesus prayed, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Can I tell you, God comes to deliver us. God comes to save us. God comes to change our life forever. And I love the scripture that says in Acts chapter 2, verse 21, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus has come to save us. Jesus has come to rescue us. Jesus is reaching out to you right now. I don't believe it's an accident that you're watching right now. God is speaking to you through this, and he wants you to understand the reality of the world in which we live, but the reality of his great love, that he so loved this world, that he so loves you, that he so loves me, that he comes to give his life for you and me, that we could have life forever. That's what Jesus did for us. When he went to the cross, he paid for our sins. He paid for our debt. so that we wouldn't have to, right? So that we could enjoy the freedom that comes from him, so that we could walk in the light of his glorious truth. I want to pray with you today. I want to give you an opportunity for God to come and to rescue you and come and live inside of you. Come and shine the light of his hope in your heart today. Can I pray with you? Can I lead you in a prayer and just help you with the words? Let's just have a conversation with God right now and allow him to come into your life. I'm just going to help you with the words. All you got to do is mean it. Can you pray with me this prayer? Come on, let's pray something like this. Come on, pray this from your heart. Today, God, I thank you for loving me so much that you gave me your son, Jesus, to die on the cross to pay for my sins so that I could experience life. God, thank you for opening my eyes now and helping me to see who you really are. You love me and you've come to rescue me and change me forever. Forgive me for going my way. Today I invite you into my heart. Come live inside of me and make me brand new. I give you my life, and with all of my heart, I'll follow you as you help me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.